Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, Aztec Loco on the beat, polar the white green wizard, drop that shit.
Revolt against the ties that bind, against the oppressive overseers trying to keep us blind. They want to take what's ours till we have nothing left. And those who ain't trying to hear it, those are truly the deaf. Human beings live in poverty, fight for every last crumb. The people who don't speak up about it are known as the dumb. We want to unify the nation, regardless of race, religion, or station. These times that we're living in are truly testing my patience. Political parties, two sides of the same coin. Liberal or conservative, yet they're still missing the point. Try to stay focused, look past the taskmasters. Ain't nothing gonna change till we eliminate the system of classes. Death and taxes, a reality to be sure. Corruption is the cancer and our voice is the cure. Power to the people, not to those who are evil. And I stand with my fist raised till all are considered equal.
When you're born in this world, you're given a ticket to the freak show. And when you're born in America, you're given a front row seat. And some of us get to sit there with notebooks.
Yo, it's time for a change, elevate your mind. No longer do we have to be the deaf, dumb, and the blind. I read books, watch documentaries, love with my heart. I feel the world's running low, it's time for a recharge. It's too many retards working the system against us. Zionists, bankers, Congress, president, anyone convinced by a dollar to follow. Where greed fills their minds, but their hearts are hollow. Yeah, it's Christopher Barlow, that's polar the white. Red flag me on the list, so my soldiers unite. Together we fight peacefully and consciously, or the violence ignites. I fear no nightmare, cause I'm a soldier of Christ. Let me repeat that again so you can hear me twice. I fear no nightmare, cause I'm a soldier of Christ.
They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right.
And that was Deaf, Dumb, and Blind by Polar the White and Green Wizard. You can find them on SoundCloud. So good evening, everybody. This is Our Reality Radio. Tonight we are going to talk about the O.J. confession, If I Did It. We're not going to go into overtime tonight, just long story short, but we got a good hour and a half to go, at least. Joining me tonight are my two lovely co-hosts, Leslie Wood and Jim Gray. Good evening, you two. How are you two doing?
I'm good. Hope you guys are good, too.
I'm not so sure right now.
You're supposed to be wonderful.
I'm like sitting here at work, right? But I have to wake up from my nap and only maybe get an hour and a half worth of show.
Okay, we'll try and push it. We'll try and push it to 2 hours.
No. Please understand. I was just playing.
Oh, so you want to get back to work? Good man. What a loyal employee.
Well, maybe back to my nap. Anyway.
He is a wonderful human being, isn't he, Eva?
He's wonderful.
Well,
wonderful,
I had to come
wonderful
up with something else, to thing else on my mind because, you know, evidence.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. Right.
We'll just end that with a wink. but how apropos, we're talking about OJ tonight.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe if you've been missing his van and picking up an interest on where they might be hog farms and stuff, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
You know, this was just, go I'm sorry, Leslie, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you, don't they have a big population of wild boars in Texas?
Yes, but you see, I don't get to spend enough time actually just wandering around because, you know, I like have a job. And so I don't know where this is. I have one possibility. But it's been like 5 or 6 years since I was in the general area, so I have no idea if there's still an issue there. But I'm going to hush now because of evidence.
Yeah, exactly. But I came up with a brilliant idea while you were rambling on. But anyhow, so we're going to go back 24 years to June 12th, 1994. Actually, to the murder.
24 years? It's been 24 years?
It's kind of hard to believe, right? I don't know. And, 24 years. And that we're taking back to the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson, and I don't like to give him credit, so I just refer to her as Nicole Brown, and Ron Goldman, and they were brutally murdered in front of, or should I say, it was in front of Nicole's condominium in Brentwood, California.
Wait a minute, that dude's name was Goldman?
Ron Goldman.
Oh, well, I see what was going on now. I understand it. It's all clear. It is all
Ronald.
Clear. I get it now. What it was, O.J. Simpson was fighting back against the oppression of his Jewish overlords.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Jimmy, you are on a roll tonight, baby.
I don't think that even came to OG's brain. He was brutally, literally brutally jealous. And
of course, Goldman got all the money, now got his girl. It makes perfect sense now.
Okay, from what I understand, he wasn't a rich man. But he was a waiter.
He was a waiter.
See, that was just his cover.
Oh, exactly. Right. But those who aren't familiar with the story, you can Google or DuckDuckGo, whatever search engine you use. The murders in Brentwood in 1994.
Yeah, because we ain't going to tell you the story. We ain't going to tell you the story. We're going to make you do your own. We're going to make you look it up.
Ronald Lyle Goldman. Actually, what had happened the night of, their daughter was in, Nicole Brown's daughter and O.J. Simpson's daughter was in a dance recital. And the family went to that, and at the end of the recital, they were all going to meet at a restaurant, which Jason Simpson, OJ's son, worked at, but they decided not to go there. And they let Jason down by not showing up. There is a private investigator who is still trying to crack the case, and he's convinced that Jason Simpson had something to do with the murders, but the pieces just don't fit. Needless to say, they went to a restaurant where Ron Goldman worked, Mezzaluna's in Beverly Hills, and Nicole Brown's mother left her glasses in the restaurant, and Ron Goldman was actually friends with Nicole Simpson, or Nicole Brown, and he knew where she lived, and he opted to deliver the glasses there, and unfortunately, while he was there, this is what I believe that happened because of all the blood evidence, that OJ was there and he confronted both of them, and he ultimately slit Nicole's throat so bad that it almost decapitated her, and stabbed to death Ron Goldman.
Yeah, they think that maybe he killed her first because she didn't have any blood on her feet or something, and then they think that maybe Ron Goldman came up during the process because he was taking the glass.
Okay, from what the evidence that I have heard, it appeared as she was knocked out, first of all. So she's on
right.
the ground when Ron pulled up. Her watch had broke when she hit the ground, and the time stopped at 9:58 p.m. And so that's where they get the time frame. But when Marcia Clark and Darden, I was going to call him Charles Darden, but that's, I'm sorry, Christopher Darden, when they went to try the case, they said that the murders occurred around 10:15, which it just doesn't, their timeline doesn't add up. I have watched, I don't know, it seems like hundreds and hundreds of videos on this. I watched the trial over. I watched so many things. I have, my brain is on overload. But, excuse me, so after they had, or he had killed Ron Goldman, then it appears as he reached up and pulled Nicole's head back and then slit her throat. Almost decapitating
that's
her.
That's
so
gruesome stuff.
It is very, very gruesome. And what was it? The trial lasted 134 days. And the verdict was not guilty. There was one lady that was holding out, and it would have been a mistrial, but then the other jurors convinced her to vote guilty. And so on the murder trial, he got off scot-free. But in the civil part of the trial, he was the families were awarded $33.5 million, and they've yet to see one penny of that money. So he, in turn, went to Las Vegas because somebody was selling his memorabilia, because he was a big football star, and
but
then
there was
he
a lot
decided
of years in between the incidents. They weren't back to back.
I believe it was a 2-year gap.
That's all.
Yeah, a 2-year gap. It was no more than 3 years. I know that. And it was to the exact day, as a matter of fact. So he spent 9 years in the Nevada jail for a heist on
his
memorabilia.
I think it was robbery, Eva. I think it was robbery,
yeah,
or something like that.
But
Some
with a weapon.
Yeah.
With an armed robbery, yes.
Yeah.
So, with all the blood evidence that they had, not only at Nicole's house, condominium, but at his house, OJ's Bronco.
Yeah,
and,
you know, but there was witnesses, Eva, that said that night that they had seen the police leaning against his Bronco, and maybe that's how some of the blood got there, because the crime scene was so contaminated.
Okay, but
that's why he got off, because it was also contaminated and screwed up.
But does that explain the blood evidence inside the locked Bronco?
No, because they're saying that that was planted, pretty much.
There was also blood found in the back seat too, so there's a possibility that there would have been a second person involved. And the amount of blood evidence that was taken from the scene, it was, oh goodness gracious, it was probably, okay, you have one of those medical vials, okay, a thin one, and you stack maybe 2 quarters on top of that, that's how much blood evidence was taken from the scene. And no doubt, the LAPD screwed up big time.
And that's why he got off, because I believe he did it also. But they screwed everything up. And even the lab screwed up, because one of the lab techs, she was some kind of trainee, she kept a sample in her pocket for a day before she tested it. So it's like kind of like that thing. For every single thing, there was a pretty darn good rebuttal that just was horrible, horrible police work on LAPD's part. It was just
But to have so many police officers against O.J. Simpson and try to set him up, it would have been almost the whole police force against him, trying to frame him for this.
Right, but you know, it's what I'm saying is it's just enough to put that little doubt in the jury's mind,
Well, I wish I would have been a juror. I wish I would have been a juror, because I definitely would have held out. And, yeah, he's guilty. It's just that one of the points that I'm bringing up is that on the murder itself, he is found not guilty. But on the civil case, he is found guilty. Now, what makes it so different?
I do not know.
Jimmy?
Evidence that wasn't presented in the first case. This is what comes from when I talk and sound all smart and everything, and then I forget these fancy words. A lower level of evidence required for a conviction? No, that doesn't make sense. But there is something, you know, what's in my mind at this point in time is kind of like how there's a lower level of evidence required in order to be able to get, say, a FISA warrant than there is to be able to get a bench warrant or whatever I'm talking about, because I think I've said enough to get the idea across, even though I haven't used the proper terminology.
Gotcha. So you're saying that they didn't need to present as much evidence in the murder part of the case as they did the civil, then, or vice versa.
Something like that, yeah.
Because there was evidence introduced into the civil case that never made it to the murder trial. Now, and there was just so many screw-ups. Like Judge Ito's wife, Lance Ito's wife, she was part of LAPD, and she wrote... she actually signed a document stating that she was not involved in the case and knew nothing about the case until it hit the trial stage. So that was
and then all of
right
a sudden.
There.
Oh, okay. So.
And you got Mark Furman, who they painted racist of the century. And
even worse than Trump?
At the time, oh, he was worse than Trump, yes. Because
you have to,
because This is basically the city of Los Angeles going against this famous, or should I say infamous now, football player, and who was not only a football player, you know, the Heisman Trophy winner, he was an actor, yada yada, pretty doggone famous. And then you had all these stupid women in LA swooning over him, even though the facts, a lot of the facts were in at the point, at that point. But, you know, they think, oh, he's so handsome, blah, 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 blah. He's a friggin' murderer.
Well, let me say this about men and men that murder and the women that go after them anyway. Okay? There's
right.
a thing. I swear to God, Eva, you know I got that
no,
thing in family there. And there's a certain population of women that they don't care, and they will actually tell you that whomever he killed, the girlfriend, the wife, well, it's because she did this and she did that. Well, bull crap. Who cares what she did, even if she was a demon? But they will go after him, and then they will tell you, or they will tell their sister, my mom. They were telling my mom, well, he this and he that and he this. And we're just like, we got the transcript in there from the trial. You want to read it? You want to take a little read? Because he actually did this, you know.
Right, but he just came out with a book not too long ago, and the title of it is If I Did It. Okay.
That was a long
in
time
bold
ago.
Letters in bold letters you will see I did it. And then where the I is at in the title, there's little tiny print. If if I did it. And that is his confession. He has this guy named Charlie in the book. That
right,
was helping him
ego.
With the murders. Helping
yeah,
him with the murders.
Yeah. I've seen that. They had that interview that he did with the woman who wrote the book for him, or with him.
No, actually it was a man that wrote the book with him. It was
a
man
was
that actually,
it was
actually the man who lived in Nicole's neighborhood that heard her dog wailing after the murders. And so he's known as a ghostwriter, but everybody you talk to believes that this was his confession. And because I saw an interview too with him. It wasn't Aphrodite Jones. It was with, I don't know, some well-known mystery show that's on, but he does this interview and he's saying, hypothetically, if I went over there, hypothetically, if I slit her throat, hypothetically, everything was hypothetically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had seen that.
I hear
a
train.
A few months ago when it was on.
But this is actually scary. And why did they find him innocent? Because what it boiled down to was 2 years prior was the Rodney King incident. And because eight police officers during the Rodney King beating were found innocent, a lot of L.A. burned to the ground. There were riots all over. You had a truck driver named Brian Denny. He was driving down the streets of L.A., had absolutely Reginald Denny, thank you, Leslie, had nothing to do with the verdict or anything. He was grabbed out of his truck and almost beat to death.
You Yeah, Brad said that guy was a piece of work. But probably maybe he didn't deserve that.
It was so bad. So many businesses were people were trapped in businesses. I need somebody that worked at the LA Times, and they couldn't leave the office.
Be fun.
Do I get overtime? Shut up, you're
being
trapped.
Basically,
you're a hostage.
Basically being trapped and in hostage as a hostage at work.
I think you should get double time for that.
Well, it's like that's when everybody would be looking at me saying, you're that crazy conspiracy theorist, survivalist, want to be here after the zombie apocalypse. Get us out of here. You guys didn't want to hear nothing about none of that. So, sit down, shut up, and get comfortable.
They would come running to you. You betcha they would. And then there was a lot of, still to this day, there's a lot of Korean business owners down there. And if it weren't for AK-47s and AK-47s and AR-15s, they would not have businesses today. They stood on their rooftops of their businesses guarding them.
They were shooting in the street. The Koreans were shooting them in the street, man. They weren't playing around. Don't mess with the Koreans, I guess. because they were all kinds of crazy gunfight. And they still are. A Korean would take you out in the street and have a gunfight with you. They're not letting you get away with stuff.
But this is their livelihood, and I didn't blame them at all. And a lot of business owners were paying the Koreans to come over and protect their businesses. Because that's one thing you don't do. You don't screw around with somebody's livelihood in L.A.
Or anywhere, really. That's when a lot of people lose their mind and they go, as you say, postal. Is because whenever you, a lot of things can happen and a lot of stressors can happen. But once you take away someone's livelihood and the way that they feed their families, they kind of go a little crazy and lose their mind.
Well, if you remember, because Leslie and I do not and still don't live too far from where it happened, where they were burning down L.A., that's where you get the song Burn It Down from Sublime. It was about the riots in L.A. And
burning down the house?
No.
Or was that somebody else?
That was somebody else. Not burning down the house. Let It Burn by Sublime. I tried to upload it to the studio, but to no avail, and I don't know how to. I'll send it to you right now, Jim. But no, it was so freaking crazy, though. So many people were scared to leave their homes. And this went on for how long? How long would you say the rioting went on for?
I thought it was 9 days.
I think it was a solid 9 days.
I
just sent that to you, Jim. But it was insanity. And I found out last night, we kind of briefly touched on this tonight's show on Question Everything that is on Monday nights on Blog Talk Radio. And it was not Nicole's condominium that was demolished. It was actually O.J. Simpson's house. He had... they knocked that down, and the property itself was sold. So, and the owner of the condominium is laying low, so we can't find out who the owner of the property is. I'm sure if I did a real technical search on it, I could find out, but not gonna.
So Eva, the reason they discredited Mark Furman so much, and he was the one who found most of the incriminating evidence, was Mark Furman, because they charged him with perjury, because he swore that he did not use the N-word in the last 10 years.
Right.
So apparently, they have proof he did, and so then they tried him for that, and then he evoked it. And when they asked him, did you plant or manufacture any evidence in this case, he took the fifth.
Well, he pleaded the fifth on just about everything, if you recall. I mean, that was his standard answer to almost every question that was asked of him.
Well, yeah, because then he, you know, I don't know. It was just so sloppy. But through the O.J. trial, who was the shining star in all that, Eva?
Oh, of course.
Cato.
It was, you know what, though? Okay, no. In Cato's defense, because I've seen, doing research on this show, I've seen countless interviews on him and stuff, and he was working at the time, okay? He wasn't just like the cabana pool boy or anything like that. He was Nicole's friend, first of all, and he always worked, and he rented a spot at her house, and then when their house, and then when she was moving, when they were divorcing, she got the condominium, and OJ kept Cato. Oh my gosh, it sounds like a little lost puppy dog or something. So OJ,
it was great. Everybody loved Cato.
OJ rented, what is it called? It's, oh gosh, not a cabana. Oh my gosh. But it was an extension, like a mother-in-law's quarters, rented it out to him. So Cato always worked, though. He wasn't this freeloader.
Well, it doesn't matter if he worked or not. I loved him. I thought he was a kick in the butt. You know,
and
he was fantastic.
And if you really want to get down to it, I mean, this was basically the start of reality TV, this O.J. Simpson trial, because it was the first court televised.
Eva, and then here we go. You know, it has to be start of reality TV, because who was one of his attorneys?
Oh, yeah, Robert Kardashian. And still to this day, see, O.J., after the murders, O.J. had to fly out to Chicago, and the limo driver was waiting and waiting and waiting for him. Limo driver, you know, is pushing the button because there's a gate, you know, so he's pushing the buttons, nobody's answering, and he saw a black shadowy figure walk from behind the house to the front door, and then a bunch of lights went on inside the house. And then he rings the bell again, and OJ said, "Oh, I must have fallen asleep." And then they proceed to the airport. And so OJ either got rid of the evidence at the airport, which is a good possibility, or upon his arrival the next day after he heard about the murders from LAPD, he had a luggage bag, it was a Louis Vuitton luggage bag, and OJ's assistant handed Robert Kardashian the luggage bag, and in front of the cops and everything, and you can see this on film, Robert Kardashian skedaddles off with the Louis Vuitton. So they think that that could be another possibility of where the murder, the bloody clothes, and the murder weapon was in. The reason why Robert Kardashian became part of the Dream Team was so that he wouldn't have to testify against OJ and having the bag given to him, or testify that he did not see what was in the bag. So he became part of the Dream Team. But did you notice the expression on Kardashian's face when the verdict was read, not guilty? Now, his jaw literally dropped, and it was either out of shock or possible guilt that they found OJ innocent. Because like I said, I mean, there was so much freaking blood evidence. And because you can exhume a body right now and collect DNA off of it that has been in the ground for hundreds of years. And I know DNA evidence was just, you know, it was just taking off at the time.
But we are so helpful to you at this point in time.
I'm sorry?
We are being so helpful to you at this point in time. You keep pausing, looking for people to say other stuff, and I got nothing.
And Mr. Lessie's dead, too. Lessie.
Miss Lessie muted herself. I'm sorry.
Oh,
I muted myself because I was making noise.
You scared me. She's playing with that doggone Rubik's Cube again.
No, not this time. Not this time.
Okay, I'm not going to say what I was about to ready to say.
She has a new precious.
All I can say is Brad's a lucky man.
I am so out of this one.
So am I, Jimmy. I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it.
I don't hear anything from the peanut gallery, so I guess he's not judging it either. you know, it's just amazing how advanced DNA and all that good stuff advanced in 24 short years.
Yeah, because you are right. DNA was just starting, and the general public really didn't have any kind of understanding about it or anything like that. Now you mention DNA, and it's like, oh, done deal. You know, hang them now. You know,
exactly.
But back then it was like, what is that? I don't know if that's right. You know, blah, blah, blah. You know.
And maybe if they wouldn't have kept pushing that, you know, every 5 minutes to confuse the masses,
mm-hmm.
I think that maybe that would have helped their case, maybe just a smidge. But I'm thoroughly convinced had Marcia Clark or Christopher Darden would have bought the same exact pair of gloves that were found, one was found at the scene, and then one was found near OJ's, or should I say, Kate O'Kalin's air conditioner off of OJ's house, that was where the other glove was found. Had they have bought the same identical gloves and soak them in blood and let them dry, that they would have been able to prove that leather shrinks. And because what's that saying? If the glove don't fit, then you must acquit. And he was a late bloomer to the case. And I have silence again.
I'm trying to figure out who was the late bloomer in the case. I'm trying to figure out who that was.
Oh my gosh. Cochran. Johnny Cochran.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, they say that she had Nicole Brown Simpson had called a woman's shelter, but I don't understand why someone with her maybe connections or something would call a woman's shelter. I think of a woman's shelter as being for women who poor, battered women. But they say this woman says that she called there 4 days prior to the murders. Said she was afraid of her ex. And she believed she was stalking him, but they discredited that because it was more hearsay. And then her friends and family insisted that she always said that OJ was stalking her. And Renee Resnick, or whatever that woman's name was, Resnick, said that Simpson had told her he would kill her if he found her with another man.
Okay.
So,
you know, that Resnick chick, and for the life of Lene Resnick.
Faye Resnick,
you're right. Faye Resnick, actually, here she is, supposed to be, you know, Nicole's best friend, and then she writes a tell-all book after the murder. And she made, you know, millions of dollars off of that. And Leslie, I promise you, on live air, I would never, ever make one penny off of your demise, okay?
Oh, honey, you know what? Do yourself a favor if you can. I'm already dead. You get the happy rat fast. Make yourself some money. Don't be foolish. Come on. You know? Shut up. Do it, girl. Save yourself.
Brad, are you in?
But Cochran also implied that, well, he had two theories, and one was that it was drug dealers because Brown was selling, or somehow that restaurant that she went to, you mentioned it earlier, where Ron Goldman worked.
Yeah.
The name of that restaurant was. They tried to claim that that was a front for a drug situation, and because Faye Resnick was an admitted cocaine abuser, and so it was some kind of drug thing. And the second one was that an assassin or assassins followed Goldman to Brown's house to kill him, and she was just a bonus. But
okay, just because of. There was so much freaking blood evidence again. Okay, I can't buy that. I mean, there were his socks, OJ's socks had blood on them, Nicole's and his blood. Because there was a cut on his finger, too. When he got back to L.A., there was a cut on his finger. And they found a mixture of Nicole's, Ron's, and OJ's in the Bronco, all three of them together.
Well, they had a DNA guy. What was his name?
That would be
Dr. Henry Lee of Connecticut. No.
Oh.
It's a different one. Dr. Henry Lee of the Connecticut State Police said that the blood pattern was in such a way on those socks that it had a hole that he had a it was would appear as if Simpson had a hole in his ankle or a drop of blood was placed on the sock while it was not being worn.
On one sock, yeah, because I saw that one today.
Yeah, so
and,
you know, there's so much crap, and it does, you know, is to, and there was some other, with some of the other blood evidence, there was some kind of a coagulant on, anticoagulant on there that wouldn't be there. That's according to, what was his name, Alan Dershowitz. So they just tore this thing apart because, again, LAPD did such a sloppy job. This is a big case, and LAPD should have.
Well, I don't. Okay, although Marsha Clark was allegedly, she had won all her murder cases that she had taken. I think she was going through a child custody at the time. Okay, so I don't think mentally she was fit for this. And Christopher Darden, he was still green. He was just a puppy, you know, wet under the wet behind the ears.
Yeah, but he was pretty sharp. He was pretty sharp. But I do think it's ironic that Marsha Clark, somewhere doing all this, had to run out and get a makeover.
Well, because she was not pretty for the press.
That's I understand, but maybe if she wouldn't have done that, she would have had more I don't know. It's just funny things that happen along the way of the trial, you know. Funny.
Well, if you notice, she got a total of 2 makeovers during the trial. And I just think that they definitely were not prepared for this. No, they're going up against what a lot of people would consider a legend. Oh, and a dream team, yeah.
I mean, because they also had Effie Bailey in there, which we know in the end they kind of lost it.
After this, Effie Bailey quit his practice. He no longer practices law. He's still alive.
He got a little bit of trouble. He did get in trouble.
He gave it up. And then you had Johnny Cochran. He ended up dying. You had Robert Kardashian died. Let's see. Who else? Oh, that flamboyant one that, oh my goodness gracious, Robert Shapiro.
Oh, yeah,
Robert Shapiro. And then you had Barry, I forget what Barry's last name is, but
Barry
he
Sheck,
was.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Barry Sheck. He was. He counteracted all the DNA evidence.
I mean, you know, they did their stuff. I'm telling you, they did their stuff. You know.
They did, and also come to find out, OJ never paid any of them either.
Shocking! Shocking.
So he left a heavy debt with them too. I just think that the whole thing was a travesty, and so many people made money off of it. To my knowledge, there's only 2 people that did not write a book that were involved in this case somehow, some way, and that was Lance Ito and, oh my goodness gracious, the other one just fails me right now. But 2 people out of, what, hundreds?
Mm-hmm.
Mark Furman has a cush job now. He does, you know, murder mysteries and,
well, yeah, because he moved to White Bread, Idaho.
White Bread, Idaho.
Idaho. And it was like all of a sudden there was a rush of LAPD that was moving to Idaho. You know, like, is that where they all go when they screw up? What's up?
Well, now, really, wouldn't you want to put that behind you?
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, they all kind of congregated to the same place.
It's just really tragic. And now getting to Faye Resnick, you know she would never, ever friggin' have wrote a tell-all book hadn't this have happened.
Well,
if it didn't happen, there'd be nothing to write about.
Right. It'd just be her friend had a jacked up relationship. God, we all got that friend, you know.
I just think that it's a tragedy, and you have, you know, all these close friends of Nicole's. Yeah, we were best friends. We went shopping. We did lunch every day, blah, 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 blah. And all of them, none of them knew that she was abused. Yeah, we saw the bruises, but we saw the bruises, but we didn't push the issue. You know, Leslie, if I saw any bruises on you, I'd be the first one pointing fingers.
Well, honey, don't come looking at me now because I got bruises all over me because I took a tumble the other day. So,
sure you did.
Yeah,
sure you
allegedly.
Did.
Allegedly, right?
You allegedly fell down the stairs?
There was no stairs. No stairs. And I allegedly ran
stairs.
Into the doorknob, too. You know?
Ah, there you go.
There you go. There you go. Yeah. I'm not quite sure how you run into a doorknob, but okay.
If I got a bruise on my shoulder.
See? Well,
I hit it on the door jamb.
Sure.
Okay, then it was my clients that beat me up.
Or your son. You had brunch with him today.
Yeah, but this is a... old bruise, you can tell it's already yellowing. So, but no, if
but they did. There was a long history of abuse between OJ and Nicole. The police had been called to their residence several times for her to report. There was photos taken, so it was fairly well known that there was some domestic violence going on in their home by
almost
said LAPD. And it did actually, this murder case did change the laws of how the police do respond to this. Because now if they come to your house, it is not unusual. They'll arrest both of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Think
twice about making those non-emergency phone calls. You just want to break up with somebody.
Right. Just think about it. Before you be a little bitch and you want to get them in trouble, you know, think about what you're doing because you might end up getting arrested your own self, you know.
That's right.
Especially if you have touched him too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Because even let me tell you, that uncle of mine that killed his ex-wife, I should say, they were actually divorced. Do you want to know how long he was in prison? OJ spent more time in prison than he did. He was in prison, including trial time, 4 years. Bam. So that includes county when he was waiting to go to trial.
I just think that is just a sin. Well, we're going to go into about 15 more minutes of the show. Because I just wanted to update people and know that nothing became of this. OJ has his life and he's still living it. And two people were brutally murdered. And this is just, it's tragic. It's hearing the Goldmans, because I believe that the Goldman family was a little bit more more outspoken than the Simpson or the Brown family, just except for Denise. Denise does help at battered shelters, women's shelters and stuff. But go ahead, honey.
I was just going to ask you if you had a number for battered women to call if they were being battered, or men, for anyone. Look it up.
Besides 911. Yeah, I just typed in battered shelters. My computer is so doggone slow.
Right. So now, if Eva disappears and they run history on her search records, now that we're all going to, you know, we're all going to be grilled about whether Eva was being beaten.
Right.
I am just kidding.
Just talked about.
Right.
Exactly. Actually, there is, and I can only speak for California. There is one in Carlsbad, California, and that's for battered families. I'm trying to pull up the phone number right now. Again, my computer is so doggone slow. It's a 24-hour. The 24-hour crisis line. The phone number is 575-885-4615. And that is Carlsbad Battered Family Shelters. Again, the phone number is 575-885-4615. Yeah, I'm sure if you call that number, then you could get other phone numbers in your area. I'm going to check out an 800, whoops.
Yeah,
800
I would have thought that they
number.
Would have had a domestic violence hotline. Seriously, I would have thought they had that, because it is so prevalent in this world, unfortunately.
And it is. And as Leslie mentioned, it not only happens to okay, here is an 800 domestic violence line, and the phone number is 1-800-787-3224. Again, 1-800-787-3224. If you are a battered man or a battered woman, please call that number. I do have another number also. This is, this is a specific one. This is Northwoods Battered Woman's Shelter. That number is 800-588-6229. And it just continues to go on from state to state, because it appears that all states do have an 800 number. So I encourage anybody, whether you're male or female, to call one of those numbers, an 800 hotline. And get the help that you definitely need, because there are people out there, there are programs out there that are willing to do this and get you some help, because this is a serious matter.
It is. It really is. And you know, even the thing about men being battered, that is true too, and it sounds funny that the little woman's going to beat up the big, strong man, but it's not necessarily that she's beating him up, bones or anything like that, but she's still physically abusing him on a pretty regular basis. And I did actually know someone who did weird stuff to her husband. I mean, she'd be getting mad at him,
right,
and reach over and break his toes. It was like, what the hell? You know,
I know, man.
People, just don't do that. But men are embarrassed, too embarrassed to report.
They are embarrassed, and I'm just going to go ahead and presume that your anonymity is well kept with these 800 numbers, because I too knew of a man who was abused by a female and physically abused. And sometimes words are degrading also, are very, very degrading. But if you feel like you are in a horrible situation, please, please seek the help that you need, whether it be from one of those 800 numbers or possibly your church, because there are churches out there that will help you. But it starts with you, the person who is being abused. Is not going to call for you.
And it's the help that not only they need, but they also deserve this help too. They deserve to be in a better living situation.
Exactly. And if children are involved, my goodness, you have to put your children first. They don't want to see mommy and daddy constantly argue and physically abuse one another.
Brad was telling me this story. I'm not sure if he read it or he heard it on the radio, but there was a case somewhere, I forget where it was, and it was summertime, clearly, and the ex stole his air conditioner, and so he went back to get his air conditioner. I believe she shot him in the testicles.
Oh, my goodness gracious. This is over $1,000 item, people.
Or less. A window air conditioner, you can get them for $140 at Walmart all day.
Okay, but even if it was $1,000, $1,000 isn't worth literally busting a man's balls over.
Right? So, you know, And this mental abuse, there's also that. It doesn't have to be just physical, people. It can also be mental.
Right.
And if it is physical, that runs into the mental also, because if someone is, you know, doing this, they're probably browbeating you and beating you down and not giving you the good positive reinforcement and the
Right.
Well, y'all are setting that bar pretty high, aren't you?
I knew a girl who was being... I found out after the fact that she was being physically abused. And she mentioned it to me, and I said, you know, you should have told me about it. And she had told me, you know what, my bruises heal. But every morning when he gets up and looks in the mirror, he has to look at that crooked nose because I broke it. And she just got to the point where it's like BS, and boom, clocked him right in the nose.
And, you know, and there is that battered, they call it battered women's syndrome. Now,
right.
Not anymore, but in the past, there has been several of my friends throughout the years that I would go and rescue. Okay, because so-and-so was beating him up or this, that, and we would take him to my house, a safe place. The guy didn't know where it was, is that, and because they have that whatever crazy syndrome, whatever it is going on, they call him.
Yeah, it is.
For some reason, it's that crazy thing going on in their head. They can't really live without him. You know?
Jim, you know the word that we're, that we're thinking of,
Stockholm syndrome. I don't know.
Stockholm syndrome. Yes, Stockholm syndrome. And that's what basically it is.
Yeah.
You know, you get used.
Okay. I always thought it was more they were afraid to be by themselves, and they knew they could get back with that particular person because he's some kind of control freak and wants to keep her under his control. So they knew that, you know, instead of it being the Stockholm syndrome, I thought it was something along the lines of just a lack of, oh, now all the big words are falling out of my head and I can't find them.
Self-esteem?
Hit the head.
Self-esteem, confidence.
Right.
Self-esteem, confidence, things along those lines. I know, you know, numerous people over the years. I knew one couple that both of them suffered from it, and they were horrible to each other for the longest time. But neither one of them would leave the other one because they were afraid of being alone.
Right. And a lot of people
Known that person, too.
A lot of people get that sense of despair, you know, where they have to stay with the other person because they feel so little.
Right.
But there is
This thing about trying to, you know, psychoanalyze somebody from a distance gets sticky quick because there's always unknown information that we don't have. You know,
you're right.
That's like everybody wanting to call Trump a Nazi because he behaves this way or that way or the other way. These people don't know
right.
what the hell they're talking about. And they, you know, they have no idea what the hell Nazism even was in most of the cases. They just know that it's a name that you can call a conservative and their heads explode. Because
right.
the conservatives generally knows and understands, you know, at least the basics.
You're right about that. But it is, you know, personally, I've never ever been in a physically abusive relationship. So, but I have seen friends go through it. And you got to want to help yourself, people. You know, nobody's going to come down. Nobody's going to come down and, you know, do it for you. You can get out of these situations, though. There is help out there.
Sew them up in their bed sheets and cast iron skillets.
Oh.
Baseball bat.
Shank them.
Then there's Leslie's actual favorite thing. Just shake them. She likes the blood in her hands.
Yeah.
She likes to feel the hot blood as it gushes over her clenched
fist.
But,
I mean, like the woman that shot her husband or her ex-husband in the,
in his junk?
That was just
in his junk.
Y'all are trying to convince me that women are not demons, and then y'all come up with stories like this. That was just Brad. Brad told me that story,
Jimmy. Brad told me that story because that's my thing. I think all these self-defense classes and the gun shooting classes and things like this, forget that center mass. Shoot them sons of bitches in the balls. Because even if you don't have to shoot a man in the balls, all you got to do is
not
talk about
helping
it.
Your
and
case.
You start cringing.
Wait. The views expressed by Leslie Wood are those of hers and hers alone. It's no reflection of our reality radio or the ISBN network. Now, Leslie.
Yes, dear.
Seriously, you would not take a weapon and shoot Brad in the balls if
a burglar.
I don't know.
A burglar.
Not Brad.
Totally
I love him.
Different.
I like him. But Yvonne, I'm telling you, if somebody broke in here.
Okay, that's totally
different. Yeah, I'd shoot him in the. Yeah, I'm not talking about Brad now. He's pretty good.
Oh.
You know.
Oh. Okay.
Got him trained. Is that what you're saying?
Or he's got me trying to say he's good. Who knows? You never really know what goes on between the couples, Jimmy. You just said that. And we are making light of this situation right now.
An intruder is totally different than your ex taking your the air conditioner that you stole from him. Come on.
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, but you still shoot for center mass when it's the burglar.
If he couldn't fill my air conditioner, there'd be trouble. There'd be trouble. I'm telling you right now, because people get hot. When you get hot, you get crazy. And the basic thing here, man's got to do. But, you know, man should have went armed or with armor. Something. He should have done something.
I think somebody's a step or two ahead of us in the crazy scale.
She's married, so she's forgiven. Yeah, I guess it's a
Brad, I'm pulling for you, buddy. If you got any evidence you want to send me, just get a hold of me. I can hold on to it. You disappear, I got your back.
You know, Eva, you should have ended the show 10 minutes ago. I could have went out on a good note. And here I am.
Oh, my goodness gracious. So please, please, everybody, just go get help, the help that you need. The help is out there, and we're going to end. We're wrapping up this show. I want to thank my two lovely co-hosts, Leslie Wood and Jim Gray, for hosting with me. Couldn't do it without you guys, and thank you to all the listeners.
I'm thinking I need to pre-arrange or pre-record an automated NSA disclaimer that I can play at any time during any phone call, just to let them know. Right?
Good, good. I think you need to. Excuse me. I'm having that chemtrail cough now. It's that time now. So on that note, we're going to go ahead and end the show, but I do want to give a special thanks to all the listeners, because without you, there wouldn't be a show. So I greatly appreciate it. Thank you, everyone. I love you too very, very much. And stay tuned for tomorrow night's show, Kevin's Corner. Kevin's Corner comes on at 7:30 Eastern Time. And, oh my goodness, I'm about ready to have a cough attack. So I've got to end the show. God bless you.
Good night.
Excuse me, kind humans. And I love y'all. Bye.